When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, everybody. It is Friday, June 21st, and you are listening to the Woody Overton Window. My name is Mike Agavino, and I am here with my long-lost co-host, Woody Overton. Woody, welcome to the show.
Hey, the inaugural episode for me, right? You did a great job when I was sick, and thanks to AJ Benza also. And a little weird to have a show launch and not be able to be on it, but physically I couldn't. So, but thank y'all for carrying it. And I'm excited for the fans because, you know, we'll get into it in a second, but this is going to be different than the Daily Show, but kind of some of the same. And, you know, just excited to be here and thank y'all so much.
Well, dude, there was a time where I wasn't so sure. I know you weren't so sure this was going to happen. I know you have two original episodes that you're going to release this weekend, the first one and the next one next weekend, where you go beginning to end the whole story, right?
Yeah, right. And hell of a story. And, you know, 3 out of the 8 days in the hospital, I literally was on death's door. And so anytime you can come from back from that and be refreshed and feel better and you felt it in a long time. But, you know, brush with death is a brush with death, period. And there were several times, and this is the truth, that I was ready to go. And I even got straight with, you know, when the pain came down to a certain level where I could actually think. I cleaned my slate with Jesus, and I was like, you know, if you want to take me home, just take me home because I'm done. But that wasn't in the cards, and here we are, and feeling really, really good. You know, I got another 45 days of medicine left to take, and but just a freak thing, and you know, it is what it is. So,
well, the most frightening thing I heard, buddy, was that you've gone 26 days without a drink.
Oh my God! Right? But you know what? You know, when I was on the home health care, they had me on the specialty medicine that they had to come out and take my blood and send it to the lab before the specialty pharmacist would make up this compound. They would ship it the same day because it so much, you know, one way can make you go deaf, and it's just craziness. I don't know, but I didn't even want to drink. I couldn't even talk half the time. No drinking, no nothing. And that's for, I can't tell you, I probably was in the army in basic training the last time I went 26 days without a beer.
I'd have to go back to like age 13 or something to find a streak like that, right? For me, I think.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I'm scared of doing anything, fuck it up, what I got going on now after what
and
I
you got. And so you've got another 45 days of treatment where you can't drink during this treatment, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit less than 45 now. I think July 19th is my end date.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm sensing there's going to be a really big party July 20th at the bar. Is that the kind of plan in the work?
There'll be a party somewhere. believe on that. And
Shiner Box going to roll the trucks in.
Right. They need to. But I'm sure all the companies are hurting now because I'm not drinking. They probably, their profit margins have taken a hit.
So. Yeah, stocks are down. Yeah. So you heard the first episode where I explained a little bit about what we had gone through the end of April and through the month of May. And so, you know, you and I haven't done a show together since late April. I mean, it's a month and a half, a little more than a month and a half. you know, since we did a show.
Yeah, you know, I want to tell the fans, you know, and you've seen all the social media posts, where's Aggo and all that. The, you know, unfortunately, there's a business side to business. It doesn't mean it's anything personal, whatever, but I believe everything works out, because now you wanted to do this. Yeah, it'd be people like, you know, things I can't report and blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to keep it more on the true crime side. But this show, Woody Overton Window, we're taking the gloves off, right? Aggo gets to do whatever Aggo wants to, and I'm going to say what I want to. So, but at the end of the day, we're still friends. And, you know, it'll be interesting, but it'll be different, right?
Well, and we were never not friends. We were friends right. that were in a fight.
Right.
Friends well, that were in a fight who, yeah. I think, each time we threw a jab at each other, we walked away going, all right, I know in the end this is going to work out, but it's right. you know, you're just going to go through a period like this and until it does. And you know, it's I saw someone posted something like, I forget what it said, but not since the breakup of the Beatles has something been this painful. So
yeah, but it wasn't a breakup. I you know, everything works out. The this is a no holds barred, me and you, you know, getting to do what you've always said that, you know, this would work. And I agree with you that the fans like the back and the forth and et cetera. But, you know, I've kind of stuck in my ways on the real life, real crime side. I wanted it to be only true crime, but you have so much of a different opinion on a lot of things than I do. But now we get to bring it together, right? And I think it's going to be fire.
Amen. Well, I'm really excited about it. And I love the no holds barred. So, right. You guys on Wednesday's Daily Show talked about this this horrible story in New York where a 13-year-old girl had been raped in a park in Queens.
Right.
And there's a lot of news that actually came out as that was being heard on Wednesday. I think it happened very, very late Tuesday night where they got a big break in this case. And so we wanted to bring that update to everybody.
Yeah, well, I knew when we reported on that story that, I mean, the guy had a tattoo on his chest of either a hog or a bull or whatever and braces. I mean, you know, New York's a big city, but it's not that big. Somebody's going to know this asshole. How many people have a tattoo of a boar or whatever on their chest? Heinous crime. I mean, he tied up, wasn't only the little girl, he tied up the boy and the girl and then raped the girl, right? So, and you know, and actually you're absolutely correct. And I was expecting them would do more on it, but they got it, right? And you know, like, everybody hates a fucking rapist, and especially a child rapist. And so when this went out to the media, I'm sure people were like, oh, fuck, I know this guy, right, with the braces and the tattoo. And so actually what happened with several people, you know, Good Samaritans, recognized him, and guess what they did? They didn't wait on the police. They made a citizen's arrest, right? And basically saying, hey, don't mess with the next women. And Angela, I think it's Sarati. Is that an Italian name or the
Sarati? Yeah. She's a badass. I mean, right? She's a freaking badass. She's
23 years old. She immediately recognized the man police name as the prime suspect in the park, in the attack inside of, is it Kissena Park?
Kissena
Park, in which, you know, like we told you before, the boy and the girl, both who were 13 years old, were held at knife point with a machete style blade, right? Now, who the fuck carries a machete style blade around New York City? You know, and of course, he, like I told you, he tied him up with shoelaces and then he raped the girl. But Soretti turned her friend in, and asked if the man in front of them at 108th Street Grocery in Queens around 1 a.m. Tuesday was the same man they had just seen on the NYPD wanted poster. He said, I pointed him out and I'm like, yo, that's him. And the friend said, yeah, that's him. And that's what confirmed it. And then everything just sugar turned to shit for the bad guy from that point on. Right. She added, as a woman, I had to really set the tone and remind him it wasn't a man that did this to you. It was a woman. Now, the man later identified by police as Christian Giovanni Inga Landi continued to resist, and Soretti laid into him, right? So you did that to
a
woman?
He hid under a car crying.
Yeah.
He like rolled under a car and started crying.
Yeah, well, he's a little bitch, and he's going to get his, right? But she said, as a woman, I had to really set the tone and remind him it wasn't a man that did this, she was a woman. Now, like I told you, that he was identified by police as Christian Giovanni Inga Landi, and he continued to resist, and Soretti continued to lay into his ass and said, you did that to a woman? And a woman got back and did this to you. He said, let me explain. I'm like, there's nothing to explain. You're a rapist, she added. And he said, I don't care. I'm like, what do you mean you don't care? You're a rapist. And again, he said, I don't care. Now, a group of Good Samaritans joined the citizen's arrest. And it was all captured, y'all, in a dramatic video and photos. And it showed England cowering on the sidewalk as an angry mob beat his ass and called him a rapist. And among the group was the 67-year-old Isabel Casado, who kicked him before taking off one of her shoes to beat him with it. And
she took off her shoe and started beating him with it.
And I mean, this is like 1 o'clock in the morning. So Daniel Ramos had, who overheard England saying he was going to fly to Ecuador in the morning. And as Ingalandi wrestled with the group, his hoodie and t-shirt came off, revealing a tattoo of either a boar or a bull, which we told y'all about, with red eyes on his upper chest. And this is just as the New York Police Department had described in the wanted post, like we told y'all about. And
well, and Woody, isn't that pretty amazing that 13-year-olds would be able to be that descriptive attacker? Because without that description,
yeah,
they're nowhere, right?
Right, right. And it really is. But, you know, I've had cases where I had a 4-year-old pick out a murder suspect, believe it or not. But a lot of people, when they get attacked like that, they black it out and don't recall anything. And the worst testimony you can get is eyewitness testimony. But in this case, this little 13-year-old girl and the boy recalled these identifying features, and thank God that they did, right? Because this guy, like he said, he didn't care, and you know, he's a rapist, and he's going to get his issue. So I'm glad they beat his ass, and a little street justice is what I call that. Well deserved. And
it came out that he actually recorded the entire rape incident.
Yeah. Almost. Remember, I told you almost as important for the sexual deviant to commit the act is to record it in some way. And of course, this asshole did it, and I guess he saved it for a spank bank or whatever. But he's done. I mean, I imagine they'll give him a plea bargain for 50 or 60 years, so this little girl doesn't have to suffer and be re-traumatized in court. But who knows? I mean, he's going to hold out for a while, as his defense attorney will, to try to get him the best deal. But this is one of those guys that just doesn't deserve to breathe.
Yep. Well, and look, this guy, like the guy who murdered Rachel Morins, were both in the country illegally.
Yeah. And it's when I read more and more of these cases every day. And I think it's coming off of like I'm sounding like off against an illegal immigrant situation. Well, fuck, I'm not. That these people are doing it and they're in the country illegally. And had they not been here, it wouldn't happen. Yeah, I mean, it's just they do it. They have a certain level of anonymity because they're here illegal and really can't be traced by green card and all that stuff. But you know, if you got a boar tattoo on your chest with red eyes, yeah, that's going to catch up with you. But I don't understand the whole illegal and the catch and release and all that bullshit, but something needs to be done. Not only for the rapists and the murderers, the guy with Rachel Moore and shit, he did it all across the country and he's sticking and moving. He's either raping or murdering or whatever. And then, and the next week he's all the way across the country. Right. I mean, it's almost impossible to track somebody like that. Thank God they got him on DNA, tied him into a case in Los Angeles. And I think, wasn't Moore in like Connecticut or somewhere? Yes. No, Maryland.
Maryland. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, you can't get further across the country than that. And they're doing
He had gone all the way across. He had gone to California and then, and then back halfway across the country again. And, you know,
which makes it almost impossible for law enforcement to catch him. And then that's just a fact. But the DNA, and thank God to the advances in technology and DNA, they put it in the CODA system and got the hit. But I mean, that the illegal thing, it's not just that. Think about how many, probably hundreds of thousands of people that have been murdered by fentanyl coming across the border, you know, including people that I know. Right. So it's just a fucked up situation and something needs to be done.
Incredible. And it becomes a political football now what people should be focused on is the fact that, you know, just in this day and age, we can not afford to have an open gate to the yard. You just can't. There are too many people around the world that want to hurt people here. And, we're going to cover a story for Monday's show about where the terror threat is now. And this has exacerbated that in a really large way. But look, we got two of them. And that's...
touch on it again real quick, because this is the Woody Overton window, not just True Crime Daily, so we can talk about these kind of things. You build a wall, people still get around a wall, that's fine, but there's so many good people that come over, and I know some that are here illegally, that are working, sending money back to their families, trying to better their lives, but then you have all these criminal elements that are coming in, like did a story on the DEA actually came out with a report that said the cartels are operating in all 50 states and every major city in the United States of America. And you know why? Because the border is wide ass open.
If you want to participate in something that's special, like coming to the United States, it's similar to, making a sports team. Not everybody can. There are cuts. You have to earn. You have to earn it. My family on my mother's side came to the country in the very early part of the 20th century from Bari, Italy, and they had to come over in pieces because they couldn't afford to the passage from Palermo for the entire family. So her father came first and he made some money and he sent back some money so somebody else could come. And she's actually the one of only two in her family that were born in the United States. Everybody else was born in Italy. But in 1924, after all of the bridges and tunnels were built in New York and they really no longer had a need for Italians, the 1924 Immigration Act went through, which greatly limited the number of immigrants that could come from Italy. It set quotas up based upon how many people were coming from a particular country in the 1860s and 1870s. And so for her brothers, there was no way that they were going to get here. And so they got tickets on a boat and got a boat from Palermo, got into New York Harbor, knew they wouldn't be able to get through Ellis Island, so they jumped off the boat in the East River, and both of them drowned.
Yeah,
my crazy. Mother never met her brothers. She was born after her brothers, and you know they were trying to break the law and come in, and because they were that desperate. And so I understand the desperation of a family that wants to work and is trying to stay together and build a life. But so separating those people from the ones who want to come here and do harm, it shouldn't be that hard to create policies that do that. Everybody gets stopped at the gate. You make it difficult to get in because it's a special place to be. And in order to get in here, you have to have the right intentions. You have to plan on working. You have to be doing it for your family. All of those things should be part of the policy, just like they were when my family came over. And look, my family didn't come over, or the families that came over at that point in time, with any slate of government entitlements coming their way. They weren't getting insurance coverage and schooling and everything like that. It was, you're here purely to work. And so I think this whole thing has to be rethought and reimagined in a big way.
Let me throw it. I think the listeners just, you know, you hear about it so much and then you're like, in one ear and out the other one. But let me give you an example. Now, we had a house in Belize for a year, and Belize was third world country, basically, right? But the English is the main spoken language. The dollar's guaranteed 2-1. But you get off that fucking plane, you got to go through some shit to get into their country. Now, you can only stay 89 days before you have to exit the country again to get your restamp before you can get back in. Let me tell you something. They know where you're staying. You have to list it down and everything. And you hit that 90-day mark and you haven't gone back out and come back in, they come in to get you, right? I mean, it's no bullshit. I see it. The guys with machine guns or whatever, they don't play. And we need to take it to that level. And I think that would cut down on a lot of the bullshit. But again, our southern borders are wide fucking open.
Well, it'll be interesting to see next week when these two debate how it goes on this topic. It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I want to move along to one of your favorites,
oh,
the Murdaws.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well,
Buster is back in the news.
Special kind of idiot. Yeah.
Well, he's an idiot, but this is the first bet you ever won from me. I was certain that Buster's girlfriend was going to dump him within 30 days after this thing. And to the best of my knowledge, she is still with him today. Right. So that was the first case of Shiner Bock that Woody got off.
That's right.
You remember the Stephen Smith, who was the schoolmate of and quote unquote friend of Buster's,
right?
Who died in 2015. His death was originally considered to be an accidental hit and run. You know, it was in the early hours of the morning, and he was on a remote country road when he was hit. But in the Alex Murdaugh case, some of the evidence that was turned up, and they never told us what specific evidence it was that was turned up, but some evidence that was turned up pointed toward the Stephen Smith case being a murder, and that possibly Buster having involvement in it.
Right.
Right. So he's never been charged with anything, but you had a number of documentaries, news reports, docuseries all come out in sometimes very subtle ways and in sometimes more direct ways, implying that Buster had something to do with Stephen Smith's death in 2015. And so now Buster has come out punching, and he is suing all of these outlets for defamation. So that news just came out in the last couple of days. And I don't know what your thoughts about Buster suing Warner Brothers and Campfire Studios and Gannett and all these people he's suing.
It's a two-way deal, right? That all these, you know, like Blackfin, Netflix, Warner Brothers, Discovery, all these different people jumping on the bandwagon. You remember the fucking stupid ass Tiger King, right? That in when it got hot, it was hot. Well, Murdaugh was probably much hotter than that, and they jump on this bandwagon, and nothing sells like sex, murder, and drugs. And they implicated him probably without as much evidence as they should have, and more so they want to say, hey, murder and daddy came and covered it up, right? Mm-hmm. Flip side of that is he's probably suing the shit out of him, and gonna get a check. But they're not going to fight it, or he even made his own documentary on how these people get paid to do it, tell the story, and how these big media conglomerates implicated him without being so. But fuck him, he may have done it too. They say he may not press it that hard, but just another continuing continuing the saga.
Well, and that was a very well-to-do family, and the millions are gone between all of the penalties and the lawsuits that came out of the what Alex had accrued over the years. And so he's broke, and there's nothing there. And so you figure Buster's got to find a payday somewhere. When you break it up the way that he's broken it up here, and he's the lawsuits are going at a bunch of media outlets. I mean, there's like 10, 12 media outlets here. Yeah, so
it's at them, but their insurance companies are ultimately the ones doing it, just like a car deal or whatever. And they're probably going to write checks to make him go away. And this kid, you're right. He came from a very affluent family and is used to that lifestyle, et cetera, but he's also got to keep that girlfriend. Yeah, so he's hoping to get some money off of it. If not, he's going to get a series out of it and whatever. And, probably more so on that end. Could you imagine people were still talking about this idiot, his dad? And he's going to get paid one way or the other.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not the Smith family raised money last year. They did a GoFundMe to raise enough money to exhume his body and get an independent autopsy done. So they've continued to try from their end to prove that this was a murder and find out, exactly who who it was. And at the same time, now you've got him, you know, denying, and he's always obviously strongly denied any involvement in it, now taking legal action. So we'll follow that one. No bets on whether the girlfriend stays with him or not. But at this point, you're not allowed to drink Shiner Box, so I'm not buying you anymore.
Right now. Well, if they get him on anything or they're writing checks, it's going to be under NDAs and all that. So,
we'll never know.
Right. But
we will never know.
You never know. You know what? If it was murder, the statute of limitations on murder never runs out, and they may find a piece of evidence that says it was that they do. This dude should have left it alone, right? But if he's innocent, whatever. So,
right. Well, he'd get paid millions and still get brought up, still get charged with murder a couple of years after that. So,
all right. 50 years afterwards, it doesn't run out. You know, so.
This story caught my eye because I thought the way that they identify the guy in this next story was pretty unique. This is a guy robbing a bank, but the bank is within a Walmart.
Yeah.
I don't go to Walmart a lot. I don't remember there being a bank inside a Walmart. Is that a common thing?
Several of them I've been in, and I lived all over the United States, actually have a small branch of a bank. But how ballsy do you have to be? I mean, it's not, you go to Walmart fucking 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's hundreds of people. Of course, the bank wouldn't have been open then, but you know, you're going to go in and rob a, basically you're robbing inside a Walmart, and you know, they have more cameras than God. And you're going to try to get away with it.
Well, this guy, put his child at risk here. His plan was to use his child basically, as a shield. He goes into the First Convenience Bank again, which is located inside of a Walmart. This is happening near Dallas.
Right.
He goes up to the teller and he sends him a note demanding cash. We don't know the amount that he's given, but he gets that amount. He then goes pushing the shopping cart with the child in it toward the exit. And once he gets out the front door, he picks up the child and he starts running with her. The guy is described as a white male between 35 and 45, and is pretty sure he's like 5'8 and thin. But the thing in the description that really caught me was the FBI said that he was wearing a multicolored fishing shirt, khaki colored cargo shorts, and Hey Dude shoes.
Right. Right.
Have you ever heard of Hey Dude shoes?
Yeah, I actually have some.
Do you really?
All of my old man shoes, but the kids gave them to me. Shit, they're comfortable as fuck. But my thought on this is you wearing a Hawaiian shirt, these outlandish Hey Dude shoes with the girl and hula scoop and all that, that people were going to be more apt to, if I was a criminal, I'd do that too. People are going to be more apt to look at what you're wearing before you commit the robbery. And that takes away from them studying your facial features and all that. But where he really screwed himself is involving a child in the crime. And everybody hates that, right? So they're really going to get his ass. But yeah, the Hey Dudes, I mean, Hawaiian shirts probably stand out more than these shoes. But I think he's doing that as a way of taking the attention off his features, although Walmart has more cameras than probably anywhere in the world, and they'll get him. And it probably, you know, Dallas is a huge, huge area, and I had an apartment in Farmers Branch, and you know, they have a lot of the Walmarts, et cetera, but there's interstates everywhere. You know this, your son's in college up there. So it'd be easy on, easy off, and maybe he's from another state, but give it enough attention and they'll catch his ass off.
Yep. Well, he had a baseball cap on and dark sunglasses. So it's, even though you got the cameras, they've got his size pretty well identified, but that's about it.
They also have the kid photos aren't going to lie. Right.
Right. Well, I thought the most interesting and frankly kind of funny part of this was interviews that I think it's a local NBC affiliate in Dallas did with a couple of Walmart shoppers. So the first was a woman, by the name of Flora Chavez, and she's a regular at that Walmart. And she said, there's no reason to include a child in a crime. That says a lot about the kind of person that robber is. Well, he's a robber.
Right.
Doesn't that in and of itself Flora say enough about who he is? They interviewed another woman named Shirley Ingram, and she told them she was surprised to hear the news, saying it stunned her. I mean, to think that poor little baby to be connected with something like that. Then again, she's too young to really know what was going on. She added that she thought the bank robber was just using the child as a shield. The police would be less likely to shoot at him with the kid in his arms, she said. So, you know, all helpful points from the Walmart shoppers that the NBC station decided to interview.
Yeah, well, hopefully they catch him. Did I tell you, my buddy in the FBI, and I was on the FBI task force for several cases, and he told me if he had one crime to commit, that one time to get away with it, it'd be to rob a bank. Also, I don't know if you know this, you guess what the average haul is from a bank robbery. They take all the ones in the United States that happen every year, all the money that's gotten, and guess what the average take is? $3,500.
Oh my, I was going to say 30,000
because
the way you asked it, I thought you were looking for a lower number, hinting that it was a lower number, but not 3,000.
And I had a case in Albany where three guys and two of them, were from Michigan or whatever. And Albany is a small town, and they hit the bank and they got it, and the cameras weren't working inside. They got over $300,000 in I talked to the people afterwards and whatever, and they said it was because the big company there, Ferrer Fire Apparatus, have a big plant, and all the workers would come in to cash their checks on Friday. Most of the time, banks don't even carry that much money. I mean, if I went in to cash a check for $100,000, you got to get that called in ahead of time so they have the money there. Yeah, you know, so it's not like they have millions of dollars on hand like people think.
God, I can't believe that's
$3,500 in Louisiana. You're gonna get 99 years for armed robbery.
Yeah. Well, hey, this next story to me is a great illustration of what the WOW is all about. Because if I'd have brought this story up to try and do it on the Daily Show, you guys would have both smacked me, and I would have gotten the hook for trying to throw it. But to me, this is a Woody Overton window crime.
Right.
I'm talking about Bill Belichick, the former coach of the New England Patriots' new girlfriend, who is 24 years old.
Yeah. One of the greatest of all time in the football world. Look at 24 years old. That's younger than my two of my daughters. Yeah. And
he's 72. He's 72.
I know. And I mean, I guess he's wearing out some Viagra or something. And you know what she's in it for. And I hope maybe they have that understanding. I don't know.
Well, you know, there are crimes defined by federal, state, and local criminal codes. And then there are crimes that are defined by the WOW. And this is one of them. This guy is a 72-year-old coach. He's won all of these Super Bowls. He's, you know, generally regarded as the greatest coach in NFL history. He had been dating the same woman for like 15 years, who was 60 years old. So, you know, 10, 12 years younger than him. That's not robbing the cradle.
Right.
But he ends up making friends with this college student on a flight in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And he signs an autograph for her. And as part of the autograph, he puts down all the Super Bowls that he's won.
Yeah.
He writes down the date, Super Bowl 38 and Super Bowl 39 and 49 right. and 51. So he writes down all of this stuff, and she gives him her number at the end of the flight. And it turns out she's a competitive cheerleader, and she secretly visited the stadium called Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots play during the 22 and 23 season. So he's there, he's still coaching, and this 22, 23 year old at the time is coming to visit the coach at the stadium.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
I don't even know. What's that age difference? If he's born in 52.
48 years.
48 years. Jeez Louise. I mean, I don't understand it. It makes you wonder how many times he actually, he's just going to start out with a 24 or 22 or 21, however old she was then. I mean, I bet you he's done that before, right? But he finally got one that stuck.
He's this guy who, would say like three words in a post game press conference, as this, super tough disciplinarian. Right. Even the times where you would see him off the football field, he was still pretty tight. I mean, the only time I ever saw him loosen up at all was he participated in that Tom Brady roast that Netflix did a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he wasn't over the top loose. He was just, you saw him in a different light than you had seen him before, but never did I think he'd end up. I guess this girl was Miss Maine. She's gone in all these beauty contests, was a, cheerleader and,
She won a national championship for cheerleading, right? When she was at
I think it was like a junior college thing or something.
Bridgewater State University or something like that in Massachusetts.
Yeah, so some small school in Massachusetts. But she competed for Miss Maine. She didn't win Miss. Oh, she was first runner up though in Miss Maine. Sorry. So, I guess congratulations to Bill Belichick for being the first criminal to break the Woody Overton window with his robbing the cradle episode.
That's just amazing. This is an amazing story. Especially, I think I equate him like to the Nick Saban of the NFL.
They're best friends.
Right. And he's such a hard ass and tight ass. He's got his big boat that I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
And that's like one of his hobbies, I guess. Miss Hutz has been on that boat a few times. She even was a Girl Scout. But everybody in the world can figure out what that's about. And I guess he's got enough money to play to pay, and she's willing to play. And you have to say it's for pay or fame or whatever. So,
We'll see if that one. We'll see if that one lasts. So who's going to last longer, Buster and his girl or Belichick and his new girl?
Probably. Well, I mean, there's a big difference in that because Belichick's girl Hudson has a financial motive, right? And she's going to get famous off, or she's being famous off of it. If she breaks up, she can get an OnlyFans account. Yeah. I mean, she's set. The other one, they're just throwing mud at the wall, hoping something sticks. So I would say, probably Murdaugh is going to stick longer until they get a payday. So yeah,
unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with you there. So we have a segment that we want to roll with because we had such a great experience with this area of the country doing the Daily Show that we're going to do a regular feature about crime in Pinellas County, and this is just another night in Pinellas County. So tell us what happened in Pinellas over the weekend.
I love Pinellas County. Somebody sent me a video of this cop, this lady on the beach under a chair, and they had a guy had a shirt on and said, male from Florida or whatever. Anyway, he goes over to steal her shit when she goes in the water, and he lifts a towel up, and there's Pinellas sheriff's deputy buried in the sand waiting on, right? So only in Pinellas County. But look, typical summer evening in Pinellas County, there's like 200 teens hanging out in downtown St. Pete. When they're all together, it created an opportunity for another group of teens who are armed with gel pellet guns to get some target practice in. All right.
Now, what's the difference between a gel pellet gun and a regular pellet gun or BB gun?
Well, regular pellet gun, you know, is metal. It shoots metal projectiles. The gel one, now, we used to train with them. The gel ones shoot, and it fucking hurts. It'll break the skin on you and leave a mark, but you're not going to have to dig a bullet out of your arm, right?
So, like, similar pain to, like, a paint gun, or?
Yeah, it's something like that. I mean, okay. If you get shot with one, you know about it, right? So, these, you know, you got a whole couple hundred kids hanging out, and Swim probably would have done it back in his day if they had had such a thing. These pellet guns are run off CO2 cartridges, right? I mean, it's a lot of pressure. The old pellet guns, you had to pump them up by hand. These have CO2 cartridges, so it comes out force. But so the ones that came to do the shooting were led by a 22-year-old driver who took them up and down the beach drive. And that's the main drag where everybody hangs. The kids hang out, right? And they had a carload of young teens, and they shot at the other teens and businesses at diners. And there were police officers there. And they even shot at the city police horse, Storm. So, I told you about my buddy Dan Moe being bit by the horse on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras, and he turned around and punched, and they kill him. Well, you shoot a police horse, you're going to have a fucking issue. And they did. Three people ended up getting arrested in connection with the shootings, and the law enforcement warned they would arrest more if the shootings persist. Now, the man driving the car was identified as Jarvis Small, 22, and he was arrested. And there was a juvenile who was charged with battery on a law enforcement officer, probably for shooting a horse. And Small was charged with principal battery on a law enforcement officer, probably the same thing. And according to the police spokesman, Yolanda Fernandez, there was no particular formal gathering that drew the teenagers downtown besides it being a popular spot for youth. And two police officers were hit. So with the police horse Storm, was hit in the neck and the eye, and Storm's being treated for the eye injury, which isn't believed to be serious. But police recovered at least six pellets from the scene, only in Pinellas County.
Now, six pellet guns.
Yeah, we had to drag the strip in Zachary, where you rode up and down all night long and hollered at the girls and other cars and stuff like that. So this kind of the same thing in Biloxi, Gulfport, Biloxi, they have the same thing. You ride the same 2 mile strip and turn around, you know, on Friday and Saturday nights, and it's all kids and doing whatever, but we weren't shooting fucking cops and horses, right?
Well, so they got a 22-year-old at the helm. They're just joyriding with their pellet guns, but they're shooting at cops and police horses. I mean, these kids are freaking nuts.
I think they're pretty much fucking dumbasses. I mean, you're not going to get away with that. Put it in a context again, it's not like you can drive 55 miles an hour away from the scene. Anytime you have these areas where kids congregate like that, it's bumper to bumper. It's like spring break traffic in Panama City. It's bumper to bumper, and you can't fucking move unless the traffic moves. So they're shooting people, and they can't get away, right? And our fine friends with Pinellas County, yeah, the law enforcement stepped up and busted their ass.
God, when I think of this story. So my favorite that we've done with that area is when they had to go into the neighborhood retirement community where they were all souping up their golf carts and all of a couple of the guys were after the same woman. Right. And they were basically having a cock off over the over golf carts. Putting bigger engines in them to win the races.
Yeah, there's several of those and then Pinellas came back and redeemed itself on some SWAT moves and stuff like that. Remember, they had this one trailer surrounded, and some naked chick just comes into the crime scene where the standoff is and just walks in there naked. And then they busted the other guy who's living in one of the old age homes for selling Viagra and shit.
That's right. I remember that. And I remember one too, where it was the pool cleaner. The pool cleaner showed up late to clean the pool, and I, you know, he never had come after dark before, but he for for whatever reason, he got delayed on his routes that day and he showed up at their house late. And it's one of those screened in pools because it's in St. Pete, right?
Right.
And so all they know is they see somebody in the backyard coming through and they start shooting. And thankfully, I think it was the woman that shot. She was such a bad shot that she missed the pool cleaner entirely. Right. She never hit him. So, but man, strange stuff happens there.
We really need to take a trip down there, Mike, and to do a live show from Pinellas. This next one, believe it or not, I actually like Justin Timberlake. Back in the day, he has some sweet songs I like. What's the one he's talked a little bit in Spanish or whatever? And, said men do this and women do that or whatever. But you know what?
Dick in a Box, I think, was his greatest song ever.
Yeah.
You don't remember his Dick in a Box?
I don't know if I remember that one.
It was a great Saturday Night Live bit where he did this fake song and his dick was in this box. You have to go back and watch that. But I know you're a big boy band guy from the 90s, right. So I figured you needed to do the Justin Timberlake story.
Well, old Justin, he likes to drink a little bit, right? And the problem with that was he was drinking and driving and he got arrested, right? And the boy band thing, it really wasn't my jam. I liked him after, he got off on his own. As they all oftentimes do, they split up, right? But NSYNC, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
And the video, It's Gonna Be Me, when all the four of the guys appear as action figures, right? In plastic on a store shelf. Maybe the one of the best.
No, that's definitely in everyone's top 10 greatest videos of all time, even if you don't like NSYNC.
The problem is now they don't do videos anymore like that, especially MTV and stuff like that. But, Bye Bye Bye, It's Gonna Be Me, a lot of great videos. But here's a story. So he's still kind of pimping, right? And he's famous. He still comes out with stuff. And he's a dancer on top of a singer and everything else. But he writes a lot of his own music and everything else. And he got in trouble on Monday night in Sag Harbor. Swanky Sag Harbor, right?
Beautiful spot. It's a beautiful spot.
Very upscale and everything else. And that's getting you sexy back was another one of the songs was kind of hard to get you sexy back when you locked up in the jail cell. Cause he got pulled over shortly after midnight after he ran a stop sign. Now, they don't have it in the article, but he ain't driving a Chevrolet, right? He's going to be driving a Lambo or some shit like that. That's going to attract attention.
Since I don't know if it was a rental or it's, just a car he keeps at his place out there, but it was a 7 Series, an X7, the SUV 7 Series that he was driving.
In a swanky neighborhood, it might not be so bad, but after midnight, especially in Sag Harbor, those cops don't have a whole lot to do, right? And if you're on the road after midnight, if I was the cop, I'm going to be looking to pull people over and hit them back. But he ran a stop sign, and the cops followed him, and this is probably a gray area. They probably want to stop him anyway, but they follow him. Or, a lot of times I'd get behind somebody and make them nervous to where they swerved a little bit and touched the lines. Well, this is what happened to him. He was swerving a little bit. So they pull him over and, arrested his ass, right, for DWI. And it's going to be a misdemeanor and everything else, and I'm sure they'll get him to do community service and pay his fines and whatever, but long arm of the law, even Justin Timberlake can go down for DWI.
Well, so this is the Hamptons, right? This is one of the nicest areas in the Hamptons, Sag Harbor. And so I grew up about 45 minutes west of there, right? Mm-hmm. So the area where I grew up was sort of like the flyover between the really nice areas around New York City and New York City and the really nice areas, the Hamptons. So I'm like the middle of the fish of Long Island. I'm on the South Shore where I grew up. So we could go to the Hamptons because we could drive there early in the evening, go to a couple of bars there, and then drive back home. Right. And so, whereas most people that are in the Hamptons are either homeowners or seasonal renters, they're all rich. The essential job of the police there are to keep is to keep the riffraff out and to make sure the millionaires and billionaires don't hurt each other. Right. So we would come in and, you know, depending on who the driver was, you know, then like the nicest car we had was a, you know, a Chevelle mid-70s, right? We were spotted. We were spotted instantly, and, you know, there was no way we were getting away with anything. But for everybody else, it's just sort of make sure they don't get hurt. I think on a normal night, if Timberlake hadn't have been such a douche with the cops, they would have just made sure he made it back home safe. But he starts, and this to me was the funniest thing. I mean, the cops are young. So he says something about his tour. Mm. And they're like, "What tour?" And then he says, "My world tour." Yeah. And they're like, "I don't give a shit about your world. I don't know who the fuck you are." So he's trying to do the "Do you know who I am" thing. Right. And the cops are like, "We don't give a fuck who you are. You know, we gave you a chance. You wouldn't take the blood test. You failed the field sobriety test. So we're taking you in." Now, the biggest thing here that I think you're going to see in the next couple of weeks is, so he's married to Jessica Biel. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
Jessica Biel?
Yeah, the actress. Yeah.
Jessica Biel's beautiful.
Right.
And Jessica Biel doesn't put up with shit. There's like a long history here. And I know this because I have friends who are very good friends with Justin. Justin's a great golfer. Right. And I have friends that we were members of the same club in LA. I never played with him, but I know a lot of guys that did.
Right.
And she keeps a pretty tight leash on him because he has tended to get in trouble with drugs and alcohol and maybe even women. She is not with him out there when this happens. So she's in the city filming something while he's out here playing. So she wasn't very happy with him getting arrested. So I think we'll see some more news on this coming from the home front. But I love it. We get Woody to do celebrity news. We get Woody to do a little bit of what we should be doing at the border. And we get some Pinellas stuff. So a good first lap. So are you feeling normal energy yet? Or are you, you still a little,
as far as health wise?
Yeah.
Oh shit. I feel better than I felt in years. That disease, came on over 3 months slowly until it got to the point where my blood pressure, was unsustainable and they had to put me in the hospital, et cetera. I mean, I feel great. Although I'm not 100%, but I'm 100% better than what I was. And
you look great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The back to the show part, certainly I have opinions on everything from the border wall to, you know, celebrities and stuff like that. But the difference was when we were doing the Daily Show, I wanted to keep that true crime. I don't mind talking about this shit. I mean, I think it's it's interesting and what have you. It still has some elements of crime in most of it, but I think it was a good show, and I think it's going to be mad good, right? And so y'all make sure to if you like it, make sure to tell your friends about it. And we're going to start doing social media posts and everything else. Share it. And I can promise you that there will be a lot of back and forth between Aggo and I, and evidently that's what the fans want, right?
Well, and I'm gonna keep pushing, trying to break windows and see how far we can go. So our first lap around, we pushed a couple of things, but we'll get a little bit more aggressive.
This kind of thing, because I know some shit's going to come up in the future, but you'll have your opinion and I'll have mine,
like, you know, what's you know, what's in there. One. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Woody, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next time around on the Woody Overton Window.
Definitely, y'all. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.